let's continue this morning our discussion of some of the major news stories from this past week. Right before the break, we were reviewing this story coming out of Texas and a jury there that had imposed now punitive damages on Alex Jones, who was this fellow who for many years through his group called Free Speech Systems had parlayed this misinformation, peddled this misinformation about the Sandy Hook shooting, and was previously found liable for defaming the victims' families there, spreading these bogus theories that the shooting had been part of a government plot to confiscate America's firearms, and the victims' families have been complicit in that scheme, a complete fabrication, a lie, as we all know, for a long period of time. Previously, once again, he was found liable for that. The recent proceedings before the jury in the trial court there would determine how much money he would have to pay to the families, and in particular, parents named Neil Heslin and Scarlett Lewis, the parents of young Jesse Lewis, who was 6 years old at the time that he and some 18 other first graders, along with their six teachers, were killed at Sandy Hook. And so earlier in the week, the jury found that there were would be an award of $4 million in compensatory damages. What are compensatory damages? That means the things that are presided to, are supplied to a plaintiff in this particular case to ensure that they are at least trying to make them whole. Great amount of information presented during this portion of the trial to indicate, to prove to the jury that these parents and others had suffered greatly, pursued by followers of InfoWars and Alex Jones, had to relocate many, many times, had to be secret and clandestine about where they're moving because of the threats against them, profoundly changed their lives. And as a result of that, the jury found that to compensate them, to try to make them somewhat more whole, always incomplete, the jury awarded $4 million. And then just yesterday came back and awarded a whopping $45.2 million in punitive damages over and above that $4 million amount. What are punitive damages about? It's what the word says. It's purely punitive. It is punishing you for doing the behavior. Compensatory damages, once again, restoring you, trying to give you some sense of money to make you whole, to restore what was taken from you as a result of the misconduct. And again, in this case, these wild, unsupported, and harming reports about what did and did not happen at Sandy Hook. Punitive damages, simply saying we are punishing you for doing what you have done. And so a huge result coming out of that Texas jury. Undeniably, a number of things going to be undertaken by Alex Jones' attorneys, including, once again, a threat to go into bankruptcy court. We know that there is yet another lawsuit in Connecticut going ahead next month in Connecticut. Again, the same kind of thing, alleging that Mr. Jones, as a result of his misinformation, his lies, his peddling these false statements about Sandy Hook, caused damage. But this past week, again, nearly $50 million imposed upon him in compensatory and punitive damages. Again, for his wild misconduct in misrepresenting to America, causing great harm not only to the families but also to our nation, in encouraging people to believe things that are not true, a common theme that we have seen over and over again. And finally, our other big news story this past week, which I suspect many, if not all of you, have followed. And a secondary story in the same vein, probably less covered, and that is abortion rights. We know from the Dobbs case, Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization from late June 24th of this year, that the United States Supreme Court, in an opinion written for the majority by Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito, the Supreme Court overruled Roe versus Wade, another case called Casey, finding that there was a constitutional right to abortion, overruled that finding that was in place for nearly 50 years, and instead found no such predicate in the Constitution, sending this back basically to the states to act and to pursue their own remedies as they choose to address the issues in ways that legislatures and the public should address this issue. Again, stripping away this longstanding privacy right under the Constitution for the entire nation, nonetheless, coming back to the states. And so this past week in both Kansas and Idaho, some important developments. You know the Kansas story. This past week, Kansas voters overwhelmingly, resoundingly decided against removing the right to abortion from the state constitution there. You may recall that in previous times, the state constitution, and to this day, had basically affirmed the right to an abortion in the state of Kansas. Came out of some lawsuits in 2019, a ruling by the Kansas Supreme Court that had struck down some abortion restrictions under the state constitution. So it has been legal and authorized in Kansas. This past week, this goes to a referendum there, overwhelmingly, resoundingly rejected a move to amend the constitution to prohibit abortions in Kentucky and in Kansas, rather. And as a result of that, abortion remains legal in Kansas significantly up to 22 weeks of pregnancy, which is generally viewed these days 22, 23 weeks as a time of viability. That is a result in Kansas that is, in fact, consistent with Roe versus Wade and Casey versus Planned Parenthood. And the other story that comes out of this past week, comes out of and devolves from work in Idaho. That is the United States Department of Justice, once again, looking at ways to remedy problems in the wake of the Supreme Court's decision. In this particular case, Merrick Garland announcing that the Department of Justice, United States of America, suing Idaho, the state of Idaho, over a very strict abortion law that was set to take effect this month that would inhibit emergency room doctors from performing abortions that are necessary to stabilize, to keep in place the health of women facing medical emergencies. You might think, well, gee, how is that possible in the wake of the rescission of Roe versus Wade? And the answer is that there is a law called the Emergency Medical Treatment and Labor Act. The Emergency Medical Treatment and Labor Act, invoked by the Attorney General, invoked by the U.S. Attorney's Office there in Idaho, that attacks this attempt by the folks in Idaho to restrict access, restrict doctors from emergency room access to provide medical care to their patients. The lawsuit argues that this federal law is violated by that. And Garland says, in particular, there have been widespread reports of delays and denials of treatment to pregnant women experiencing emergencies. This is an important issue because it underscores the importance, the significance, the movement of the Department of Justice to address abortion rights, address the capacity of people to pursue privacy rights in this country through other means. Now that it's back in the states, to find other statutory and other mechanisms for ensuring what was in fact the law in this nation for nearly 50 years. And again, a significant story, a significant event coming out of Idaho. We'll see what happens with that lawsuit. It's a civil lawsuit. It is not a criminal action, unlike the Breonna Jones matter, Breonna Taylor matter, which we talked about earlier. It is, again, a very important case in the wake of and the midst of the continuing efforts by states in all directions to address our status in the wake of Dobbs and the restriction, the limitations, the rescission of the privacy right under the Constitution of the United States of America. That, a brief summary of some of the significant goings-on in justice in America this past week. And now we're going to turn back to a series of events, circumstances that are going on even as we speak in Oak Creek. Harkening back to the horrific events of August 5th of 2012. August 5th of 2012. We began last week by chatting with you about the Sikh faith, Sikhism, this 500-year-old religion, the fifth largest faith on the face of the planet. Provided you with some information about the basic understanding understandings, including nonviolence and meditation and the commitment to the wellness of the entire human race, self-discipline, the concepts of work and industry, sharing, and most importantly, this thing called Sewa, S-E-W-A, the concept of service to all people, significant for all six, including those in Oak Creek, Wisconsin, other states of the Union, and across the entire globe. We talked about those last week. Today, in our remaining moments of this hour and into the next segments of our second hour, we're going to be reviewing exactly what happened on August 5th of 2012, talking about the specifics of that day, the memories of that day. We're going to talk as well about ways in which you, this weekend, can be a part of the memories of that time, of the acknowledgement of the horror of those days, but also movements forward as we think about Oak Creek and the 7 people killed, many other injured at that time. Continue to join us this week, this day, as we chat about that here on Morning Cannolis. Join us at 844-967-2789.